powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, as a reminder for you guys, a bit of a shorter show today. We're heading out at 1:30, so get your questions in for What I Need to Know. We're hitting that in 15 minutes, 206-421-3776, the Mac and Jack's text line. Before we get to that, though, lots of really exciting baseball talk coming your way because the Mariners have a very exciting farm system. Here to help us talk about some of these exciting young players is Baseball America's Kyle Glaser on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Kyle, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me, Stacey.
Of course. We're really excited to talk to you. Also, for anyone listening, as a heads up, Jake had to step out. So, Kyle, you're with me and Curtis Rogers right now. But I wanted to start with what I thought was your highest praise, which was for Julio Rodriguez. Kyle, I have been telling people, hey, just wait. We're going to have Kyle Glaser on. He's from Baseball America. He has so many great things to say about Julio Rodriguez. In particular, you said he has the potential to be a top five player in baseball. That is insanely high praise, but what have you seen from him that makes you think his ceiling can be that high?
Anything and everything you could ever want from a young hitter and a young player. He is a rare player for his age in terms of what he can do in the batter's box. A lot of times we see guys who are as big and strong as he is with the power he has hit balls a long way, but there's a lot of strikeouts involved. You know, the batting averages are on the lower side. I mean, we see a lot of guys in the major leagues hit 30 home runs, but they're hitting 240, 250, 260. And in the minors, a lot of times they hit, you know, maybe 280, 290. Julio Rodriguez is a career 331 hitter in the minor leagues. He has a surprisingly short stroke for a power hitter. He has a really good eye at the plate. He keeps his strikeouts beyond just reasonable. He's an outlier for a power hitter. It's very, very rare to see someone this young with this much power who's as refined as a hitter as he is in terms of, again, just his ability to shorten his swing, make contact, make adjustments within at-bats, and ultimately drive the ball. Those are the guys who are the best players in baseball, the guys who are hitting 300 with 30 home runs or in some cases even numbers even higher. He has a chance to be that level of a hitter. And oh, by the way, he moves really well for his size and plays a pretty darn good right field as well with a big arm.
So I got a question, Kyle, because when I was thinking of the earliest kind of, prospect rankings or reports, it always felt like Kelnick just felt like more of a sure thing to people and was always rated higher, though Julio was right behind him. And I felt like the read was always, you know, oh, he's just a little more raw. So there's a little more variance there. You don't know who he's going to be. What changed to make him seem so much more exciting to scouts?
So we at Baseball America have actually had Julio Rodriguez ahead of Jared Kelnick 3 years in a row.
You guys have been ahead of him.
people gave us some heat for that, but it was always, to be honest, Julio has always been exceptional, and Jared Kelnick is a tremendous talent as well. A lot of it was Kelnick was just further ahead. He's a little bit older. He was consistently, you know, one level higher than Julio Rodriguez was. So he just proven it a little more. He was also a left-handed hitter, considered more likely to stay in center field. So a lot of people liked the profile plus the fact he was just a little more advanced because, again, he's older. He got into the system a little earlier and was just moving a little bit quicker. But we at Baseball America in our discussions with evaluators for years always said it's very, very close. But Julio Rodriguez just has a level of physical ability you do not see every day. It's on par with a lot of the guys we think of today as the athletic freaks who are the best players in baseball who, again, hit for average, hit for power. Again, this is someone that 5-10 years down the road, when you think about, you know, quote unquote, the billboard of the faces of Major League Baseball, you know, Ronald Acuna, Fernando Tatis Jr., he could be right there on the billboard with them. There's a level of physical ability here that you just do not see every day.
Kyle, I'm telling you, listeners getting really excited about some of those takeaways. Let's go to another outfielder I just mentioned, who is Jared Kelnick. Now, he made his debut. He did face some questions after a bit of an uneven year. Good news is he improved as the year went on, but he did have to get sent back down there for a bit. What did you make of his 2021 season? And then, you know, from your expertise, from your point of view, where can he grow this year?
Well, we saw him get better every single month. If you just break down his batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, his power numbers, each month he got a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And you know, that's what you want to see from young players. You know, I say everything I just said about Julio Rodriguez. There's always an adjustment period. People forget. Go look at Mike Trout, his first run through the majors. Go look at Aaron Judge, his first run through the majors. I mean, it's such a big adjustment. And so there's no reason to panic. I think that if Kelenic wasn't showing any progress month over month, it would be a little bit concerning. But we saw him again every single month get better. This is someone else who, again, we at Baseball America have long projected to be an all-star caliber outfielder who, with Julio, should give the Mariners one of the best outfields in the American League of the 2020s. And I really am not concerned about Kelenic in any way. Just the natural bumps that every young player faces once they come up to the major leagues, and he'll be fine.
Are there any obstacles that could be in the way for either of these two? I mean, a lot of hopes of Mariners fans who, as you know, haven't seen the postseason in 20 years being pinned on these two. Is there anything where you look at them and you think, you know, hey, he's going to have to learn to overcome that? Or does it feel like, you know, in the right situation, this guy can just take off and just watch it happen?
Sure. So there's no such thing as a guaranteed prospect, no matter how amazing they seem. I just raved about Julio Rodriguez. But again, there's no such thing as a guaranteed prospect. With Jared Kelenic, the thing with him, he's just so intense and just such a competitor. There have been times where that has been a little bit destructive, where he'll go 0-for-4 and start to spiral and can't get out of his own head and just get angrier and angrier. And we saw that in his first stint. They actually had to send him back down to AAA to kind of get a reset, to get him out of that mental rut. That was a big part of it, and get back to his game a little bit. So, you know, that's the thing with him, just sort of managing those emotions and staying even keeled over the course of a long season when, look, everyone has a stretch where they go 0-for-20 or, you know, 1-for-30. It's going to happen. So just seeing how that grows, and that should come with time and maturity. And Julio Rodriguez, you know, he's had a lot of little injuries. He really hasn't had an opportunity to play a full major league season. And it's not like it's been anything chronic, but, you know, he dives for a ball and breaks his wrist. He's just had a lot of different little things that have kept him off the field. So that would be the main thing to watch with him, just making sure those don't start to add up.
If you're just now joining us, you're listening to Jake and Stacey, and we're speaking with Baseball America's national writer, Kyle Glazer. He is an expert on the MLB's top prospects, and that includes the prospects we're talking about for Seattle, many of which should make you guys really, really excited. Also, Kyle, not to put you on the spot, he is a former Sun Devil, and Curtis, as a former Wildcat, I'm trying to keep it peaceful here. I'm trying to keep it friendly.
Yeah.
Kyle is a guest. Curtis, please be polite.
I'll try my
Thank
best.
Thank you so much. Kyle, we've talked a ton, you and I, about some outfielders here with Kelenic and Rodriguez, but Mariners have some great arms too. You're really high on George Kirby. Tell us what you've seen in terms of his potential and development.
Yeah, so with the Mariners system, you talk to evaluators, they say, you know, Julio Rodriguez is a future superstar, but the strength of this system positionally is the pitchers. There's just so many really, really good arms that a lot of scouts think very, very highly of. And George Kirby's at the top of this list. When they drafted him, he was a guy that was sort of, you know, an elite control guy whose stuff was just average. And the Mariners have helped him get a little bit stronger, progressively add velocity. It's kind of the same general idea of what the Indians did with Shane Bieber. Now, Shane Bieber obviously blossomed into a Cy Young Award winner and took jumps that even the Indians, well, the Guardians now, they were the Indians at the time, you know, surprised even them the level of jump he took. You know, Kirby has just added, you know, 5, 6, 7 miles an hour of velocity. His breaking stuff has gotten sharper with more movement, and he's done it all without sacrificing his control. A lot of times we see guys add power, sacrifice a little bit of control to do so. And all of a sudden you're looking at a guy who's, you know, 95 to 99 with a really, really good sharp slider, two other secondary pitches that are pretty good, and oh, by the way, can paint the strike zone wherever he wants. Again, those are very, very rare. He is one of the top three pitching prospects in baseball. There are many who will tell you he is the top pitching prospect in baseball. Again, he's in the conversation for the very best pitching prospects in baseball.
All right. Well, I have to obviously ask about Emerson Hancock in that case. What can we look for out of him in his second year with Seattle? And maybe more, what I actually want to ask Kyle is, I'm really confused about what his ceiling's supposed to be. He had this great outing against the Yankees in which we were saying, what if he's an ace? What if he's a one? But then it sounds like, Gilbert, not Emerson Hancock. But then it sounds like the expectation is that Gilbert is maybe not that guy. So when you look at these arms, Hancock has yet to debut. You've got Gilbert in the lineup here. I mean, how do you see these three with Kirby, Emerson, Hancock, and Gilbert kind of shaking out as far as their ceilings go?
Yeah, so Gilbert's ceiling has always been a mid-rotation starter. This is why I would say, hey, you know, to everyone out there, read Baseball America, don't scoff blog hype. I mean, we've had Logan Gilbert considered very, very highly for a number of years, but if you go back and read the reports, it was always a really good number three starter, which is a great outcome. Every team needs that. So, I mean, him being a mid-rotation starter, it would be right on par with expectations from, you know, evaluators and professionals who do this. George Kirby has a chance to be a number one starter. Now, again, number one starters are very, very rare. That assumes full health. That assumes continued progression. But even if he's a number two, that's really, really good. When you have him as a number two with Logan Gilbert as a three and the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner Robbie Ray in there as well now, that could be a really, really good top three and a playoff caliber top three if everyone stays healthy and reaches their potential. In terms of Hancock, you know, he's a bigger name, but the better pitching prospect and someone we have ranked higher at Baseball America is actually Brandon Williamson, who was a second rounder out of Texas Christian a few years ago, 6'6" lefty who struck out, I believe, well above 14 per nine while reaching Double A last year. He's actually the guy who's the better starting pitching prospect right now. Emerson Hancock was a top draft pick, very, 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 you know, good pedigree, big name. He's really struggled to stay on the mound last year. He had multiple starts pushed back due to shoulder issues, had two separate injured list stints. And when he was on the mound, evaluators were much more lukewarm about him. He's used to be kind of a polished, you know, delivery guy who had good velocity, but he started just trying to throw really, really hard last year, lost some of that polish, that delivery, that control. Most evaluators actually see him as a future reliever, given the health and just kind of the way his delivery works now. So Brandon Williamson is actually the other starter to consider here more than Emerson Hancock.
Interesting. What do you think about Matt Brash?
He is the wild card. So he is ranked higher than both Williamson and Emerson Hancock. This was one of the breakout prospects in the minor league last year. You'll remember the Mariners acquired him in a trade with the Padres as the player to be named later for Taylor Williams. That just kind of shows you, you know, what he was thought of as kind of just a guy. When the Padres drafted him, you know, threw hard, but, you know, small school, just, you know, there's a long way to go. There's a lot of those guys in the minor leagues. He came out this year, and what was really impressive about him is everything just got better and better as the year went on. Earlier in the year up at Everett, you know, you start getting some buzz is, hey, you know, it's a good mid-90s fastball with a plus slider, and, you know, there's something here. And then you check in the middle of the year, it's like, hey, he's more starting to reach the upper 90s, and that slider might be a plus-plus pitch, which is the second highest grade possible. And by the end of the year at Double-A Arkansas, his fastball was touching 99, and his slider was getting the highest possible grade on the baseball scouting scale. And his control got better, too. So all of a sudden, by the end of the year, I mean, this is someone people were considering to be an elite pitching prospect in the game. Now, he does have some history of shoulder issues. His delivery, it's not the smoothest thing in the world. So, and then the control is still a little below average. So there's a little bit of a split on is he a starter or reliever. But even if he's a reliever, there's a sense he could be a dominant lights-out closer, which, again, there's a tremendous amount of value there. So either way, he's another great arm in the Mariners system. It's just a matter of what role will he play in Seattle.
Now, these next two players, no longer prospects, but I know you've covered them plenty. Do you think Kyle Lewis and Evan White are capable of making contributions at the major league level in 2022?
With Kyle Lewis, the answer is yes, as long as he's healthy. We've seen what he's capable of, both offensively and defensively, but ever since he had that, you know, horrible knee collision shortly after he was drafted, he's just had a lot of setbacks with the knee and times where you think he was healthy and then something else comes up. And if he's healthy, the answer is absolutely yes. He should be the Mariners' starting center fielder and, you know, build off a campaign that saw him win Rookie of the Year during the shortened 2020 season. But it's just such a question mark with his health. You know, look, Evan White, straight up has been passed up. Ty France is a better hitter. He right now looks like, you know, the first baseman. And at the end of the day, it's just going to be a matter of if Evan White can kind of get everything together a little bit and you know, try and be the type of hitter he showed he could be in the minors. He's a tremendous defender, but right now it's Ty France's job to lose. And based on his track record, I don't think anyone expects Ty France to lose it.
All right, Kyle, can I squeeze in one last question here?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, how far off is Noelvi Marte from reaching the bigs?
He's a couple of years. He's a very, very talented young player. But again, he spent most of the year in low class A. He played 8 games at high A. It's going to be a situation where 2022, it's high A, double A, then 2023, you know, double A, triple A. If everything goes according to plan, maybe he makes his debut end of 2023, but realistically 2024. And again, that's assuming a normal progression with no injuries, nothing going sideways. And there's always so much variance with these lower level prospects. You just never really know. But at the end of the day, he's a very, very good young player. This is just more of a longer term type of prospect than some of the other guys we've talked about who theoretically you could see as soon as this year.
All right, one of the best people to ask about this, so make sure you're following his work. He's Kyle Glazer, a national writer for Baseball America. Read his work, read his coverage at baseballamerica.com. He's also got a really great kind of like a top 10 Seattle Mariners prospect chat that has lots of questions in there that we didn't cover in this interview, but they're definitely worth your time, so make sure you check that out. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
See ya. All right. Let's get to What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get those questions into the Mac and Jack's text line. Curtis, I'm going to have you help me out with some of these, and we'll start with this one. Fittingly, What I Need to Know, we are talking about MLB's proposal that includes 14 playoff games. We were just talking with Kyle Glazer about the future of the Mariners. So here's the question. Does expanded MLB playoffs cheapen the excitement if the Mariners end their playoff drought this year?
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
If you expand to 32 teams, or expanded to 30 teams, and the Mariners make the playoffs, we're still going to go nuts over them making the playoffs and ending this drought that is able to purchase alcohol in the United States. That's how long it is.
I remembered seeing questions when we were still talking about Mariners trying to get in there for a wild card, like, oh, it's just a wild card cheapen it. No, it doesn't.
Not at all.
Not even getting into a wild card and losing cheapens it. It's just like getting over, because that hump, like getting over that, like you're now playing baseball in a postseason context is enough for me. It's enough. It doesn't have to be, you know, win the World Series or it didn't count. Yeah, you want to win a World Series.
I mean, that's the ultimate goal, but you got to get to the playoffs first.
Get to the playoffs first. What I Need to Know, will we see Kyle Lewis, Jared Kelnick, and Julio Rodriguez starting in the outfield on opening day, from Fred in Birch Bay?
I don't think we're going to see that trio. I think Mitch Haniger is going to be in the outfield. I would love to see Kyle Lewis out there opening day, but I don't know what his timetable is going to be. And we're obviously not going to hear much on any of these guys who are injured because they're just not around team facilities. They aren't allowed to get in that work, at least around, you know, the normal doctors and trainers that the Mariners have and all these other teams have. So it's going to be interesting to see what these guys are able to do. You know, Kyle Lewis specifically, who's hurt right now, I don't know if he's going to be able to go right away. If he is, I would love to see him out there opening day, but I think Lewis is going to be in a situation where they'll probably DH him, maybe play some corner outfield right out of the gate.
Well, and I would also think, we need to get Shannon on soon, because at least like months ago, so closer to the end of the season, there was real doubt. Like, I don't know, are you going to see Kyle Lewis? Are they going to put him back out there? Are they going to risk another injury, or maybe have him as a bat, or like, what are you going to do with him? That answer might have changed as time has gone on. Maybe there's been updates with his recovery, so we'll have to ask Shannon. But I know at one point there was serious doubts about like, how are they going to be able to play Kyle Lewis if he can't come back healthy, or you know, do you risk another third or fourth major knee injury?
I think it'd be fourth.
God, man, that guy has the worst luck, and it's so awful.
It stinks because he's
so great.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's
dude.
So great. All right, next question. What is What I Need to Know? Is that a Star Wars figure on Russell Wilson's jersey?
I think that's the Walter Payton. Yeah.
Fair question, though. It does look like a Darth Vader kind of
C-3PO.
Luke Skywalker robe thing going on. So that's nice. If Bobby Wagner moves on, Are you comfortable with the B boys, Barton and Brooks? Brooks and Barton taking over.
Yeah, Rabel was trying to make them the killer bees on Sunday. I don't know about that.
I don't make light of killer bees. It's dangerous. If anyone has seen My Girl, it's not a joking matter. It's a traumatizing scene.
Would I be comfortable with Cody Barton and Jordan Brooks going forward at the two spots? Sure, yeah.
I think they
haven't shown anything that would warrant dramatic concern. Now, do I think Cody Barton's production could match that of a peak Bobby Wagner? Probably not. But when were we ever going to see peak Bobby Wagner again?
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too, is like, do I think it's a possibility they do so because of Bobby Wagner's contract? Maybe. I mean, if nothing else, maybe trying to rework Bobby Wagner's contract because the dead cap that he would have drops dramatically to where now you have cap savings as opposed to cap losses. But yeah, I think that you might be looking at a Seahawks defense where that strength is no longer. For how many years, a decade, Curtis, have we entered every single season saying, well, your linebacker's short up? We don't even talk about the linebacker group. I mean, there was a little while where you're like, all right, Bruce Irvin's gone, so who's going to be rotating in as your strong side linebacker? There was the Michael Kendricks moment.
Oh,
there's Daryl Taylor in there at Sam. And then,
did Michael Kendricks ever get sentenced, by the way?
I don't know. That might still be postponed. He might still be waiting on that one. You know what? Michael Kendricks wasn't bad.
He was good.
I'll say that. He was also a great interview. I remember us talking to him for the huddle, and we asked him about sports fans in Philly compared to Seattle.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, man, people will just straight up yell expletives in your face in Philly. Not easy. What I need to know, what would be our record expectation for the Seattle Seahawks in 2022? Man, I think that depends on whether or not you have Russell Wilson here.
Yeah, if Russell Wilson's here, I mean, I would, if there's a healthy Russell Wilson, I think you're looking at least 9 wins. But, boy, there needs to be a lot more, not just with Russell Wilson, not just with the offense, but the defense needs a lot of changes. The offensive line needs a lot of changes. D-line needs a lot of changes. I mean, if they can get those shored up,
right?
I don't think, 11, 12 wins is out of the realm of possibility, but that's the thing, is that will they be able to get those moves done?
Well, and what's the rest of the NFC West look like? You've got 3 of 4 teams in the NFC West in the postseason. Now, not only are teams hard to predict year over year, but defenses especially. So who knows what those 3 teams will look like. But
well, the Seahawks are going to be trying to get better, and so are the other 3 teams in the division.
Next question. What I need to know, what is the best non-autumn holiday? So Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, off the table. We're talking summer holidays, spring holidays.
I'm going to go 4th of July. The weather is usually decent out here. You've got a barbecue going on. You've got probably baseball playing in the background. It's light out until probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. That is my vote for the best non-autumn holiday. What's yours, Stacey?
You know, I think my answer would be the 4th of July, but I say that reluctantly. The 4th of July and New Year's Eve are my 2 least favorite holidays because there's always an expectation. I don't like hot weather. So there's like you're just sweating and you're uncomfortable, and like the meal choices are like, I don't know, hot dogs, which I'm not super high
on. Have a burger, have some ribs.
I guess.
Like,
I mean,
where are you going on 4th of July that you're not liking it?
Here's where 4th of July is fine. If you have plans and it's casual. Casual plans on 4th of July, you're going to a family member's house, you're just all hanging out outside, eating and drinking, fine. 4th of July can sometimes be New Year's, where there's this big expectation that there's going to be this big event because of fireworks. I'm not here for it. I don't support it.
You don't need to have fireworks at 4th of July. You can watch your neighbor's fireworks go off. That's just as good.
I don't know.
This as a concerned parent.
I'm going to settle on Earth Day.
Earth Day?
I'm going to say Earth Day. It's between Earth Day, Arbor Day.
God.
I don't know. That's what I'm going to go with. All right, you guys. That'll do it for us today. For Jake Heaps, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Thank you guys so much for listening. I am not going to send you to Wyman and Bob. Instead, you're going to go to Wazoo Hoops. The pregame show starts in just a little bit. We're throwing you right to it, so don't go anywhere. This is 710 ESPN Seattle.